This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
With the Baker's Plus card, it's easy to get lower than low prices. For the win! Earn fuel points on every purchase and save up to $1 a gallon at the pump. The Baker's Plus card. All you do is win. Big, big savings. Sign up now at bakersplus.com and start saving. Baker's. Fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your favorites with the Buy 5 or More Save $1 Each sale. Simply buy 5 or more participating items and save $1 each with your card. Bakers, fresh for everyone.
You're listening to the Cobras and Fire podcast, part of the Decibel Geek podcast network. Today we wrap up our Rockin' Pod 3 coverage with a special episode. We do something we've never done before, and that's just talk. We hope you like it, but if you don't, that's no problem. Next week we'll be back with a regular scheduled programming. Enjoy. When I'm looking for trouble, just files and fun. But we're all ready if you understand. So just remember the kids are back. The kids are back. Oh, watch out, the kids are back. Welcome to Cobras and Fire. My name is Baco, and I am joined by Luce Cannon. Luce, how are you enjoying the break you're taking from Cobras and Fire?
So just understand, I saw you in person less than a week ago. So this is not, I've told you I was going on sabbatical from you.
Okay.
And from everything. This is not how a break works. But yes, I'm doing well.
Hey, you know what, man? Don't answer the phone then, all right?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, listen, every time I pull out, you try to pull me back in. I could throw a mom joke in there, but I think Rock and Metal Combat Podcast has that covered.
Yeah. They might sue us, you know.
That is true.
Hey, that's our deal. And you're a faggot.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yes. And let me throw some other un-PC things on it and call it a day. Let's go.
Absolutely. Let's get into what we're talking about today. This is going to be kind of a special little side episode where we recap basically our experience in Rockin' Pod 3. And again, like we talked about a week ago, it was great to see you and have you out there. It definitely made the event more fun for myself, aside from having to share a hotel room with you. But we'll get to that. I would like to kick it off, though. Let's start with how it was for us to arrive in Nashville. And I want to give you the honors because I already know the backstory on this, and I think the listeners are gonna marvel at the endurance of Luce Cannon. I mean, the fact that you made it at all is an achievement of mankind. I think. I mean, yeah, they put men on the moon in the '60s, but you made it to Nashville on Friday. So, why don't you explain why I said that?
Sure. Well, you know, it is the last peek into my life was my extra trash day gone bad, right? Car issues.
Correct.
And yeah, so, you know, for whatever reason, after that, the car fired up a couple times, then broke down again, but I'm not going to go into that. It has been, it was quite an adventure right before the expo.
I'll say real quick, I didn't even think about that. This all really did start with that car issue you had. So, you know, there was so much that happened in that short time between that I didn't even factor that in. That had to be the first domino on what we're about to hear.
So when the expo, you know, decided to the expo, at the same time, unbeknownst to me, was an entire Florida vacation scheduled that I would be returning back to Denver on Wednesday and then leaving on Friday to Nashville at 8 a.m., right?
Yeah, correct, yeah. Best laid plans.
Best laid plans. And I already knew. I was always kind of annoyed, you know, that all this was packed in there. Plus, it's Orlando. it's balls hot in the middle. There's by the way, you know, we make the joke about the hashtag MeToo movement. And then there's the biggest hashtag MeToo movement has to be Walt Disney. How there hasn't been something come against Walt Disney about his rapage of just the American public is beyond me, because that is a fleecing. Basically, it was a family reunion, Disney, one day at Disney, and then back to Denver, a weekend in Orlando in balls hot weather. So does that sound fun to begin with?
No, and I think eventually maybe this Me Too movement will be so effective there will be no more rape that will eventually have to be offended by fleecing.
Fleecing, okay. Is that how it goes?
Yeah, that's my prediction. Carry on.
Yes. So, you know, I look at this.
But just real quick, yeah, children in a theme park and me, not a good thing.
No, or me, or family reunions that aren't on the side of the family, that actually on my side of the family would be the same thing. So essentially the family had actually left 2-3 days early because I couldn't take the days off of work. So I was by myself, loose cannon, home alone, and had a car that, like I said, I didn't know if it was going to start or not. So I'm leaving a car that I have no idea I'm going to come back from both an expo and everything to a car I have no idea if it's going to start. So I lift to the, the airport, get down to Orlando, no problem. Yeah, so we get through the whole vacation, and my pockets are feeling a little light, and we get to the airport. You know, we're leaving at 5 o'clock on Wednesday. I'm thrilled. It's my favorite part of the vacation because I am heading home. Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So we get to the airport. Everything's good to go, and all of a sudden I get a
how much hand sanitizer do you pack for a week in Orlando?
Oh, none. I embrace
germs. Okay, fair enough.
I don't shower. You know, the more germs you have, the germs fight germs. That's what you do.
There's a Cobra hack. Carry on.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Just don't shower. But anyway, so we get to the airport and we're about to board. I am in an amazingly positive mood. I am thrilled. And all of a sudden I just get a text that just says, your flight's canceled, Frontier. That's all it says. Because I have the app, and it has nothing to do with it. It's just like, you'll get an email to give you more information. That email still hasn't been I've not received that email. So there is 500 people in line trying to figure out what's going to go on. In short, it's not another 2 days until we can leave, because Frontier flies to Denver only twice a day.
And I talked to you the evening after it had been a few hours since you missed your flight, and you were on a level of vitriol I have not experienced with you. Thank you for not taking too much of a doubt on me. It was clear you were in a dark place. So.
Oh, it was a very dark place. I mean, if it was basically there was basically lawyers lining up for or marriage counselors at that point. I mean, the whole time I'm like, I'm not even supposed to be here.
Yeah, if you were from Wisconsin, your wife would have went home with a black eye.
I don't even know what that means. How does that work? How does that line up?
That's just a cheap shot at my Scotty neighbors. Aaron Camaro got that one. His dog's ribs did too every time the Packers lose.
Oh my God. But anyway, so I was, what do I do? Because now I have to rearrange my flight to go to the expo. And at a minimum, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be there like right before Rock and Roll Residency takes the stage. So the plan was, right now, obviously Walt Disney has already taken my money. The idea was to
share. Well, fortunately, you're going to Nashville and staying in a hotel that was super cheap.
And the beers, very reasonable priced as well. Yeah, right?
Yeah. But no, initially you thought you could get there pretty close to the same time, right?
No, I wasn't.
And then things spiraled.
The
well, I'm talking like there was an hour-by-hour breakdown between the two of us, mainly through text, but.
Yeah, so then it was like, okay, I can get there decently early. In short, it had to be rescheduled to leave at 3:30 in the morning, leaving to get to the airport for the 5 a.m. flight on Friday. So I know that I have to not only
and Friday's the day of the expo.
Yeah, Friday's the day of the expo, so I have
you're
to
still
go,
in Orlando.
Correct. So here's a little. If you look at like the Indiana Jones traveling by map, they all show that flying around. Yeah, exactly. So I go from Orlando to Jackson, Mississippi, for a 2-hour layover.
Oh,
then I go.
God.
Then I go to.
I don't think I heard about the layover. Carry on.
Oh well. Also, I'm like sweating the fact that one's going to get canceled too. So then it goes all the way back to Denver. I land at noon. I have to get back. I have to board by 2 o'clock in the same airport that I just landed. So just so you understand this, that means I have landed. We have to take a lift 30 miles back to home to get all the shit I need to get. I have to basically douse myself in some water, then jump back in the car, lift again. Now, just you realize, little cash register is $50, getting there. Back there, I run. I seriously ran all the way through the airport. Get on the board. It boards at 2:30. I boarded at like 2:32.
Oh, man.
And then it is a slingshot like I've never been. And I'm like, well, at least finally, now that things are getting going, that when I arrive to the actual hotel, I can at least relax in my room a little bit when I finally arrive. Yes. And I open the door to my hotel room, and who is in there?
If I recall, it was myself and Ian Wadley of the Rock and Metal.
Yeah, the two people. It didn't matter.
We're already two sheets into an evening of drinking. Hey, Luke Skinny!
I've been up since 3:30 in the morning. I wanted to sneak like maybe a half hour of rest or something like that, because I could not fall asleep, by the way. I was wired the entire time getting there.
Now knowing your napping habits, it was for the best. But I wasn't so hammered that I didn't notice that, like, you know, on top of all this stuff, this road-weary traveling friend of mine, you showed up with a bloody eye socket, like you had pink eye or something. Yeah, and I'm like, right, what the hell?
Yeah, so I was. I thought
maybe you popped a vessel on the flight or something.
Well, I'll go into that in just a second. I'm pretty sure I know where it's from. Can I tell you just one anecdote?
Oh, yeah. Is this from going on the back in your Orlando area? Or?
Yeah. Real quick, and we'll get right to the expo, folks. So I show up and I look probably exactly like a man should through all that, the story I just told you should look. But like these vessels, it's like an explosion. It's like those things outside of Alice Cooper's eyes, except it's all red inside my eyeballs. So in Orlando, there was a part where it was like already was experienced a lot of stress there. And then at like midnight, my aunt, who's had like three bottles of wine, we're at a big, big table. And she just all of a sudden says, you know, I went to the dentist lately. And the dentist told me I had upper mouth trauma. Pause for effect. From giving too many blowjobs. And at that point, I had eye trauma. My eye must have exploded right then and there. Because I looked online. I said, how can this cause be caused? And it said, one of the reasons is trauma. So, boom. Lock that in. It still looks like that, by the way. So,
thank you. Stimpy on Ren and Stimpy.
Yes, that's a better version. Yes, that's what I look like.
Oh, like, man. Well, fortunately, it looked better the next morning. You can still see it if you look closely, but it was quite an eyesore when you showed up.
It really was. Plus, we had to be on stage twice and talk to these interview people. They're just like staring into my blown eyeball. So that's how it was for me. But how was your travels, Paco?
Well, a guy I barely know offered to take me to the airport for free, and my plane landed a half hour early. So, you know, which really fucking sucked because I had to wait 15 minutes for the shuttle. I would not have had to wait that 15 minutes otherwise. So,
Any other thing. Any other stories from the road? No?
No. You know, I will tell you this. Yeah, I landed. Obviously, I had a much smoother overall time than you did. I think almost everybody did. I think Ralph from Rock and Metal, his is close to yours, but I don't think anybody had any.
I beat him.
And Brian Davis or Brett. Yeah, I think it's Brian Davis. He had a pretty significant delay in rerouting as well, but nothing compared to the travels that you had that anybody I heard this weekend. Mine was seamless back and forth. So, but beyond that, once I got to the on the shuttle ride to the hotel, we were at a stoplight next to a Shoney's. So the first thing I did. The first thing I did was text a picture of that to Ian Wadley, and he just responded, like, I just shit my pants looking at that. And then I got a text from Stephen Michael asking if I wanted to hitch a ride down to downtown to have lunch with him and Pooney and his wife. And so I took advantage of that. We had a place called Distillery. I had some delicious hot chicken mac and cheese. It's like this one little kind of like casserole dish. But so that kicked ass. Got back, basically started drinking, ran into Ian Wadley in the lobby checking in. And showed up about 4 hours later.
So you're telling me you actually saw Nashville?
Well, yeah, for a little bit, yeah. It's amazing how many bachelorette parties are going on. Basically, it must be like 24/7. Because it was like noon on Friday, and it's all these fucking pedal pubs filled with, you know, some sort of get together or another, matching girls in matching t-shirts parading around in, you know, tightly tightly worn jeans and shorts and that kind of stuff. So
that sounds good to me.
Yeah, it was all right. A little muggy, but other than that, yeah. So I get back to the hotel. I tried to hook up with as many people as I could. I went to where the expo was at. Sin Zach was on his, like, I don't know, third or fourth meltdown. Sniznak. That's the tip of the hat to Ralph over at Rock and Metal Combat. But or maybe we should call him the Polak. We can pull Ian into this whole thing too.
Sure.
I don't have as many Polak jokes as he does. I stopped riding the school bus when I was six. So, but. Anyway, yeah, so yeah, literally, I did run into Ian about, I don't know, I can't remember, shortly after I was checked in and back from lunch, and it was him, David Glenn, and Andy Schall, who's the guy who was kind enough to give me a ride to the airport, all just sitting at the bar, and then, you know, eventually the expo started, all the events were kind of going on, Ian and I decided to dip out and save a few bucks and have some beers in the hotel room, and that's when you arrived.
Yeah, so we head downstairs, and I'm immediately impressed with the whole scope of the expo, from the room they have rented out to the just, you know, everything already being set up and the size. And for you, it must have been impressive. But for me, it was kind of mind blowing just seeing it from, because I had skipped a year.
Yeah, no, it was definitely bigger than the second year as well. One thing that was very impressive was the ballroom where everything was at was where the pre-concert was. And the opening band, 8-Ball, was apparently the ones who supplied the stage and backline. And it was a pretty impressive stage and backline. I was quite amazed. I couldn't believe they had their own tour bus. So they were on first. I thought Lipstick was going to be the opener, not the second band. So I had that wrong. So when Ian and I went upstairs, the bands were just starting to play. So I actually ended up just missing pretty much all of them and catching just, I don't know. I think we actually came down and 8-Ball was already done, so I didn't see any of them either. But, you know, I know that you and I were both really looking forward to seeing the Rock and Roll Residency, you know, not as Ace's band or Gene's band, which is awesome, by the way, but just kind of doing their own thing with, we knew some of the guests that, like, you know, were going to be there. Like, Michael Sweet came up on stage and sang a couple songs. Tony Harnell did. Some guy from a local band came up and killed it on Whiskey. What's that ZZ Top song? Hellraisers and
right. Beer drinkers
and Hellraisers. Yep. So that was cool. But the overall thing, the first night, and again, I really like the idea that everything was there. There was no, like, trying to figure out how people are going to get somewhere, because about 80% of the people that come into these things fly in and don't have cars. And so, you know, everybody slamming into the back of Rock and Ron's pickup wasn't always the funnest thing to do. But sadly, Ron was not there this year to even take advantage of that. But sure. What were your thoughts of the Rock and Roll Residency?
Amazingly talented band. They are able to take these there's only one way to rock, and like add like a Thin Lizzy element to it with like a, you know, that's for you.
I love that they open up with the Sammy Hagar song, and about two thirds of the crowd just turns and looks at Ian Wadley. You got this this guy in a fucking Bo Jackson Raiders jersey, like, is getting more attention than the band for about 10 seconds, and he shook his head and walked out.
And that they played two. It was the only artist.
He comes back in and like, oh, he's back. So it almost felt like they were trolling him.
I think they were, but they sound phenomenal. You know, my only thing is I think that they should have had a better little mix of songs, like more, you know, kind of read the crowd. I mean, they played Pat Travers.
A lot of people kind of felt that way. I it was a little 70s heavy for me, but
I don't care about 70s, but it's the stuff they played from the 70s. Like there was from a guy that listens to a ton of the stuff. There was at least three songs I was unfamiliar with. That's my point.
Okay.
That's all. They're a great band. And the fact I was really hoping, and we have differing opinions in this too, but I was really hoping that when like Michael Sweet, for example, would jump on stage, that he would actually play. He did play one of his songs.
Yeah, they played Soldiers with him. So.
Right, but the other ones did not. They just played like a Zeppelin cover and stuff like that.
I don't think we have different opinions. That would have been cool for the audience too. But I look at it also from the artist side. It wouldn't just be more fun to just go up and jam and not fucking feel like you're entertaining people to your stuff? I mean, it's kind of a cool way to let go for some of these guys, to go up those things, feel a little love from the audience, but also just dig into some tunes they like, man. You know, the stuff they don't get to do, and this kind of offers them that opportunity. But so I'm good either way.
I get that. But with that said, too, do two songs. Like, I was really, I guess my biggest thing was I was really looking forward to hearing a Kick song, for example. You know, the point of him being up there. That's all. That's a minor complaint, but very cool.
I think
cool.
You can do a Kick song without a guitar player from Kix. I don't know that it would have sounded any better with or without him. Not a shot, but come on.
Doesn't matter, but he's there.
I know. But so, yeah, that was great. We drank a little more and went to bed.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Well, the next morning.
Oh, hold on. For me, being a very unique experience was the fact that we had some of our listeners coming up and, you know, socializing with us. We grabbed a beer right afterwards at the bar. Yep. And that was kind of
it was great. We definitely have some stories to share on that level when we get into the next day. But
sure.
The next morning awakes. And of course, now I'm dealing with the reality that is sharing a room with Loose Cannon. There were two glasses. You decided to, because you're such a manly man, you can't drink a beer out of a bottle or a can. You have to pour it into this tiny whiskey glass. So yours was just dried sediment with beer. So you had two options. Use the glass that I had already been using for brushing my teeth and stuff like that, or clean your own fucking glass. And so three times in the morning, I found myself like, okay, I saw that you had moved. It had been moved from where I was keeping it, so you had used it, and I had to de-germ it because I just got a guy who's back in from Orlando. Who knows what the fuck he's got on his body? So I'm cleaning that, and then I'm finally like, God damn it, can you stop using my glass? I mean, have some boundaries. And this is before you walked in the bathroom while I was taking a shower with an entire glass wall shower doors.
Well, you think I'm checking out your junk? I'm just going in there for my mission.
Look,
and leaving.
I gave you a warning. Just some boundaries is all. That's not a normal way to handle the things.
Well, I didn't think about the glass thing. I imagine
we didn't even have
a
chance to lock the door either because it had a barn door kind of sliding thing.
Right. Which is the thing I also enjoy is the barn door where people can pretty much hear you blowing it up, and there's no fan in there for high class hotel. Why no fan? That's all I got to ask you, Marriott. Why no fan?
Oh man, yeah. So yeah, it was a real treat, and then you instantly are calling room service like, fine, I'll just get new glasses, and of course, then you find out that I have this phobia with room service when I'm staying in a hotel.
Yeah, which I don't understand. I like to have my bed made. I like to have things cleaned up, or put in order. And what is your fear? What do you think they're going to do when you're in there?
They're going to take my toothbrush and rub it up their asshole.
Which, by the way, I am no longer getting room service anymore in any hotel after that description. I have a phobia. Thank you.
I thought you needed one.
Yeah, that's what I need is more concerns and anxiety.
Oh man.
Speaking of anxiety, but let's move on.
Yeah, let's get down to the actual day of the expo. We showed up just about pretty tight actually, but we were ready to go at 10 o'clock.
After a nice breakfast, nice $20
That's right.
Breakfast.
Yeah, we had a nice, healthy breakfast. The breakfast buffet there was solid.
It was. It was a good $20 solid. It's better than Shoney's.
Yeah, it was better than Shoney's, which would almost be $20 anyway.
Yeah, you're right. That's fine.
So yeah, I was good with the breakfast. Michael.
Oh, there was the breakfast. Breakfast, also known as just the meal, for you.
Yeah, much to your chagrin. I don't know. You know, the problem was you didn't have your little boy toy Rob there to go off and eat with this year. So apparently that was a huge deal. Maybe, like I said, next year you and Ralph can go eat together and Ian and I will power drink through the day and just grab a slice of pizza before we crash.
Yeah, the expo diet. One meal, drinking, fall asleep, one meal. That's just the cycle.
Yeah, that's how I do it at a festival, too. I eat real big in the morning, and then I have some before I go to bed. In between, sure. I don't do shit, even if I don't drink. All right, so we get down to the expo. We're ready to go at about 10 o'clock, and that's when the thing started. And Michael Sweet was our first guest. We had him at 10:15. He showed up pretty much on time. And it was good to know that he actually remembered the show, and we had a good chat with him. And then I think, I don't know, who was next? It was Tony Harnell, and then we had our live panel, if I recall right. Is that right?
I agreed.
Okay, but it wasn't our live. I'm sorry, I said live panel. It was our live, our our live presentation of our own show. So which I don't know. Yeah. Well, how did you think that went down? We were kind of brief, but I thought it went well for the most part.
Well, I was just happy the fact there were people in there. It was
the
setup is I had envisioned it being in more of an open area versus another room for whatever reason in my mind. But I was pleased the fact that we had about 9 or 10 people there. It was probably a 20-25 person room.
I think there was 9 total that came into us. You know, so it's like not quite half full.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. My name is Baco, and I am joined by the travel weary Luce Cannon. Luce, how are you today?
I am excellent. Thank you for asking.
We are live at Rock and Pod 3 in Nashville, Tennessee. This is our first live podcast ever, so we edit the shit out of our show. So good luck.
We do. So you get to see how we make ourselves sound relatively intelligent and skilled at our profession.
Stop. Can you do that? Can you do that one more time? I was talking over.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead. But yes, it's good because I think these three loyal listeners represent our entire audience.
Yeah.
So that's great.
The numbers are legit.
That's right.
No bots.
I was like, yeah, no bots at all, and. We are one of the first ones here, so we are actually Growing Up Rock is next, and we are here to lower the bar for them.
Make it easy for them to look good. They gave us you got one of these bottles of water, too.
I did. What is your review of this water?
Well, we're not reviewing beer today.
Well.
My cap didn't snap when I opened it.
I noticed that completely. I'm pretty sure that Steve and Michael of the Grown Up Rock podcast actually just... puts them in the bathtub after he's taken a good one.
Nice.
Something like that, and fills them up. Because, yeah, this is awful. This is like drinking water from a hose, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. That's like, how do you unfilter water?
At some point, this water was pure, but no longer. But, yes, that Grown Up Rock podcast is next. The cool thing is, it's great meeting Steve and Michael in person.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting experience because it's the first time I've ever heard him, not at 1.5 speed, listening to a show, which is the proper way to hear him talk.
Yeah, you get through a little quicker, and it sounds like a person.
He does.
That's some kind of, hillbilly or whatever.
Ooh, look, the Mooger Fooger has joined us.
Oh, my Lord, the Mooger Fooger, the one and only.
We are up to 4. Let's put that down. We've exceeded our normal rating.
We passed.
Excellent.
So it's a banner day for the Cobras and Fire.
That's right.
Well, there's a lot of podcasts here. Ken Mills, of course, the Podfather, has 23 podcasts. Last night when I was at the bar and having that beer I didn't need, I was thinking in my head, I wonder if Ken Mills would like to do this podcast with me, and he called me right at that moment and just said yes. And that was the shortest conversation I've ever had with him, too, by the way.
That is true. He's very long-winded, though.
He's so long-winded, telemarketers have him on a do-not-call list.
I agree.
We're trying to do a little rule. Oh, hey, Stephen.
Michael, you missed your own joke.
We did. We reviewed your water.
Yes, yeah. Excellent.
That was instead of a beer, we did that.
Did it pass?
No. You can listen to it on the playback. But anyway, we're moving forward. Who else? Also, again, Growing Up Rock would be the next one. We've got Pooney, who I consider the Walmart greeter of podcasts. Smiling, constantly waving, makes you feel like you want to come in and buy something that's dirty and probably... defective. Yes?
Yeah, absolutely. did you have somebody... Where were we going with the next...
Is that everybody?
Stephen Michael threw you off for a game and he brought you back. But I know I had... of course, I had a little burn on the Kiss Room. Matt Porter. Yeah, if you've ever listened to the Kiss Room, he has a very positive outlook on all things Kiss. He doesn't really get dramatic or get into it too much. He looks at Kiss through glasses so rose-colored, he thinks Julian Gill is a negative dick.
Yeah, but really leading up to it, you know, we had some notes, but because of the whole travels and everything like that, we really hadn't got together and hammered out kind of a plan. So it was kind of, I think it went well, but it was just a lot of, I guess, anticipation to do it and get it done.
Yeah, kind of. That was not a... Not our best production meeting, trying to decide how to handle that, but I think we pulled it off okay.
Yeah, especially since the notes were so all over the place. There was like an entire there was an entire page of stuff we were going to cover and forgot to cover when we actually did it.
Yeah, note for next year.
Yes.
Two of us should talk at a time.
When we're not interviewing Michael Sweet and other people.
It's like, hey, maybe that's what we should. Hey, we're going to do a live show, Michael. What do you think we should talk about?
you know, when we could have done that, we could have done that when I showed up at noon and we went to lunch on Friday, but that didn't happen. And then we could have done it at dinner, but that didn't happen.
Yeah. So just, you know, we forgot about one big thing I should at least go back and touch on, because this is one of the probably big misses for you because of all this stuff, is that you had to miss the Dave Ellefson interview, which we had Friday night at 4.
I forgot. That's the part when I was at the airport and you told me that, where I almost lost my fucking mind with the fact that I was this guy that I've always wanted to meet. I am going to miss him now because of the Frontier Airlines.
Did you ever get a chance to say hello or anything like that? I know he was walking around a little bit, but he was one of the least accessible ones there.
Yeah, I did see him the first night, and I was such in a zone that I went over to take a picture with him, and yeah, the picture didn't turn out well. He didn't even get up. He made me kneel like I was going to be knighted for service next to his table. I didn't enjoy it. So
well anyway, real quick on that interview thing, you know, I kind of knew that Tom Hazard was going to be there. I didn't know he was going to be such a big part of the interview. Fortunately, depending on how you look at it, I don't mean this is a shot at Tom. It's fucking Dave Ellefson. That's the guy I want to talk to. It's not a shot at anybody. But Dave seems to be pretty intent on including him in all these things. And for what it is what it is. Tom was at least good at answering the questions. But
right.
So that was recorded by the Expo sound guy there. And that was in the same room where we did our live show at. But that was the night before. But back to the day of the show then. After our panel... I keep calling it a panel. After our live show, the one thing that has clearly been, you know, keeping you bouncing off the walls all morning is about to happen. Why don't you take the lead from there?
Yeah, what's making me bounce all over the walls is, again, with all this travel stuff, is I had to do two things. I had to do the two sides of Loose Cannon, and that was two sides of the wall, whatever, right? The presentation where we did this wacky presentation where we make, you know, jokes about Satan's taint on one side of the wall, and then on the other side of the wall, immediately after it, I have to basically don a collared shirt, look somewhat professional, because I'm doing a PowerPoint presentation, which that PowerPoint was put together minutes before I landed right directly after it. So I'm just that juxtaposition was just weighing on me that whole morning. So I was just glad that I was doing this whole search engine optimization ways to market your podcast that I had to do it right after. So that's what I was looking to get. I knew once I get through that, I was going to have fun the rest of the day. You see my meaning?
There was a Jekyll and Hyde to you on both sides of that. I will concur. You know, and look, you know, I make fun of you a lot, but you were definitely not focused on the first few hours of the expo. Once that was your teaching class was over, you did kind of settle back down to earth. Didn't you have your first beer after that point too?
Oh, yes. That's the thing, too, is I couldn't wait to drink because I didn't want to be drunk when I was doing that professional side. So I will never do that.
That was your first mistake. Do it drunk.
Yeah, exactly. But can I just tell you a quick anecdote about the guy that – you know what? Fuck that guy with the Eagles. Just go.
Okay. You sure?
Do you want me to just do it real quick?
Yeah. If you can – like I said, I thought the way you did it
– okay. Well, we mentioned there was, what, 9-10 people in there, including a few hecklers. And there was a guy who was dressed kind of like Johnny Cash in the
Falconer.
So we'll call him the Falconer. Yeah. He was just sitting there, didn't smile for the whole presentation. I was like, you know, I was like, why?
He was actually in our fucking live show too.
No, that's what I'm talking about. Is he was at the live show?
Oh, okay, because he followed into your little teaching thing,
right? But he came up to me right after the thing, and you were standing right next to me. He's like, are you going to be doing? You look familiar. Are you doing the presentation next door? Because they had a little board that said, this guy is doing this at this time. And I go, yes, I am. I'm actually going in there next. And he goes, well, that's good, because I'm starting to do a podcast, and I'm thinking about doing a podcast about talking about my experience with bald eagles. And as soon as the words,
is that a euphemism?
Exactly. Like, oh yes, a nice trimmed. But no, as soon as those two words were dropped, immediately Baco, who was right next to my side, just ran out of there, leaving me in the lurch in the corner of this guy.
Not to inappropriately laugh in the man's face.
but I'm sitting there and he's talking about the fact that, yes, I'm going to start a bird watching podcast. And there's so many things going through my mind. Like, if you're doing something about birds and watching, I don't think an audio media format is the way to go. There are so many things wrong. But then he goes, he seemed very confused. He just simply said, so next door, are you going to be doing this kind of, these kind of jokes? Like, no, there'll be no wacky humor next door. So
yeah,
I just
well, anyway, you definitely came back to Earth after your class, but that also is coincidental. Like I said, when you and I started drinking,
yes.
So yeah, the rest of our afternoon, we had Toby Wright, who was fantastic and seemed super relieved for anybody who heard our interview that we actually weren't going to talk to him about Kiss.
Yes.
We had a little fun with him about Kiss fans too. Who else? We had what's his name? Jason Bieler from Saigon Kick. Neither one of us know shit about Saigon Kick. Follow him on social media just mainly because of trying to keep up on any news and stuff. He is hilarious, and I'm glad we did because now I can kind of put a voice to that stuff. He was, I don't know, I think one of the funner chats we had, and I loved them all. Everybody was great, but he was hilarious.
No, all the interviews were good. The ones I enjoyed were right after the first ones. But I will tell you, the Bueller might be my favorite interview of the day. Because the fact it was one of those that I'm actually going to go check out the Lizard and their first two albums. It's one of those things where you have an interaction with somebody and they're so endearing to you that you actually want to check out the music more. Kind of like Michael Sweet has been with me diving into the Striper catalog. That's what's cool about these events too. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, we should touch on that real quick. Chris was able to maintain. Well, like by bringing it to the next level, like you talk, kind of being more of a legit, kind of almost corporate type feel, but it still had that loose vibe. These guys were walking around. They were approachable. If you wanted 20 seconds with them to get a picture or something, they would. I know a couple of them were charging for autographs, so I don't think that they were necessarily signing anything. I thought the record vendors, even though I didn't buy anything for the third year in a row, were a major upgrade, and I've liked the last 2 years. Man, I think my only complaint is the $6 quarter lights.
Basically plan ahead, have some stuff in you do have a fridge, that's nice. You have a fridge,
but it's like running up
place.
To the room every time I need a drink. You saw how fast I drink. I'd be in the fucking elevator all day.
You know what, there's ways around this.
You started drinking my beer.
Backpacks. They make backpacks with insulation.
Better planning could have saved me a few bucks. I'm just saying.
Sure.
And I did, by the way, because you brought some of my beers down and tried to drink them in front of my face. I was able to save a couple bucks on a couple beers doing it that way. Look, for my own convenience, I paid the $6. I could have skirted around that. Absolutely. And I did for a little bit, just not as much as maybe I could have. But
But at this point in the expo, I can tell you from the beginning to the end, like I remember the first year that 5 o'clock seemed to take a long time to get there, even though I was enjoying it because it was such a maybe not as intense event.
Yeah.
But this time, all of a sudden it was like 5 or 6 o'clock. I couldn't believe it was already there.
Agreed.
And I had decided, that I need a little bit of rest. So I went upstairs and,
you're cutting ahead of me here a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to accelerate the process.
Yeah, I get that, but I wanted to touch on one other thing before we're out of the room. All right.
Yep.
All right. Real quick, we should thank everybody that we took time to get on our show from the fellow podcasters, about half of what we wanted to get. It would have been fun to get Ralph and Ian on together. We've had Ian on a couple times, but those two kind of play off each other pretty good when they're going, and late in the day would have been probably the time to do that. Ken Mills, I keep thinking at some point we got to talk to him. I wanted Julian Gill to come on and talk about all of his Kiss-tastrophes that happened with his merch getting shipped to his house. But it was so great to see all these people. And Sinzak, we basically barely see all day. We catch up with him on Sunday. But Aaron Camaro, of course, took time to sit down with us, and BJ from Rock and Roll, and of course our new friend Pete over at the I Love It Loud cast. So thanks to everybody that came and took time to talk to us. And why don't you touch on that too a little bit, because I got a taste of it last year, but it was amped up quite a bit. Our little show is starting to grow a bit and people are paying attention.
Yes. So two things on that. One, to go to the podcasters next year, we will definitely schedule ahead to get people on, because that's one thing that I was missing, is I definitely want Ken Mills to sit down and several other ones to just do those interviews. So that was one thing that was a regret for me, was not getting into as many people. But going to the whole thing about the experience, I was not expecting people to come up. Doesn't matter what they were talking about. The people kept coming up and citing specific bits of our show,
right?
Continuously, little things like "I love this," "I love that," and like reciting quotes and things like that. And it was very surreal, the fact going
heartwarming,
very heartwarming, and very just the fact that people are enjoying this and it's making their commute less shitty. and things like that. I think that's what it should be like. Cobras and Fire, making your commute less shitty since 2015.
It makes it worth you and I fighting about how important a dog barking is.
It really is. It really was great. And I had no idea. Just it's like one of those things you do a one-off on. Who knew that my stupid experience destroying a bathroom at Witchwitch would be the fucking thing that people keep. I mean, everybody kept coming up to it between your editing of the Witch, do you won't. I heard that from everybody.
You know, it's hard to say. I heard it from Matt Porter about 8 times. So you might be confusing it with everybody.
No. I heard it from at least 7 people.
How did you do on people buying you a beer?
I did pretty well, except the fact that I think I would have done better if I was more available this first, the first half, but quite a few people very thankful for that too.
So thanks everybody that did that. That was kind of neat to see people kind of play off of that.
Yeah. Just, I guess the whole thing is that there is not one bit of bullshittery that weekend from any kind of, it was just all nothing but love.
Yeah, it really was. It was definitely the most positive vibe amongst all the podcasters.
And the fact that people are traveling from all over the goddamn place, be it bus or from all parts of the U.S. to hang out, sometimes specifically for our show, kind of. You know what I mean? Like, what? I mean...
And I heard a handful of people that came over to our table. You would have known if you weren't bouncing around the entire Nashville Airport Marriott. But yeah. Early in the morning is when I was kind of manning the table there. I had a handful of people come up and say, look, I've never listened, but I've heard a bunch about your show. They just wanted to come by and talk. So hopefully we get a nice little boost like we did the last couple of years, and we keep growing and growing, you know?
Let me do this. I have to only because I got to walk into this bathroom real quick. I'm going to call you back in 3 minutes so we can finish this up.
Right on.
Okay, bye.
So the expo ends with kind of an additional show at the end. Was Dave Elvison's on tour with this thing called Bastery, where he's kind of doing like a storyteller's thing with his career, and he's promoting a new record. But before we get to that, because I don't have a whole lot to say on that, I would like to say that one thing, and I mean this sincerely, that I really was happy for you about was that you got to feel, because you didn't get there to the second year, and you missed out on what I, that was the one thing I thought, I was like, oh man, if you were here, you would just be feeling a lot of love that our show is getting and the connection we're starting to make with people. And it was, we touched on it a little bit. I don't want to go too deep into it because we already covered it, but it was definitely amplified this year. I'm glad you got to, because you put a lot of work into the show, as do I, and I think you deserve to hear that people do care and enjoy it and have fun with us.
No, I know. I mean, what I like is the fact that it just showed that the show has evolved. I mean, we used to be dick jokes. Now we're dick jokes and toilet humor.
There we go. People grab it. Time to move on to boogers.
Yes.
All right. But anyway, so Bastery, I thought it was fun.
Bass-O-Matic.
What's that?
The Bass-O-Matic. I think that would have been a better name Bass-O-Matic. For a tour. Yes?
Now I like Bastery. Okay. Yeah, Tony Harnell got up there and sang, what the fuck? Oh, God. It was
Mona Lisa and the Three-Form
Dawn. Yeah, that was kick-ass. Fuck.
Played some Devil's Island. They played the
Polaris?
Trooper. Yeah. Kill It, the piece sells with everybody getting on stage at the end, the crushing mix of, you know, obviously if it's called Bastery, you got to have his guitar up in bass guitar up in the mix, and it just sounds phenomenal.
Yeah, Jason Bieler joined him for a couple tunes. That was cool. Fuck, Sweet got up there, didn't he, or not?
Yeah, I mean, Tom Hazard wore his best going to Target at 7 in the morning outfit.
Hey, give it up for him. He sounded amazing.
He did sound amazing. He did a probably a better Mustaine than I've heard Mustaine do in 20 years. No joke. I'm not making a joke here.
I kind of agree, too, but come on. The guy's got cancer right now. Let's be nice.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
That's not what you're saying.
You know, it's hard to do Mustaine because he already has kind of a very, let's call it, unique singing voice. So anyway, it was good.
So, yeah, we went to the bar afterwards, and Tony Harnell and Michael Sweet showed up, and they were looking at a drink menu. So I texted my boy Wilson there in Denver, where you're from, a picture. I'm like, yeah, Michael Sweet and Tony Harnell are in a bar I'm in right now looking at a drink menu. And he's like, where the fuck are you? I'm like, you know, thanks for paying attention, asshole.
This guy. But, nobody pays attention. Baca.
And then Super Drunk Toomey gets into the picture. Boy, I don't know if I want to get into too much how his day went because it was fucking incredible, but it's a little personal, too, so I don't think we should touch on that. But
well, I'm just going to say that sometimes, it's not the best idea to drink too much on several fronts. There could be opportunity, missed opportunities,
things of
this nature. Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, he was, I saw him kind of like doing that, the swerve, the Ron Keel stagger. We've all been there where you just, you're the end of the night, talking to Michael Sweet. So at that point, I actually thought that maybe he needed to be pulled away. But when I went over there, he actually was not, it was just, everything was fine. So I ended up joining the conversation and talking with Michael Sweet for a little bit. And probably one of the, definitely one of the highlight takeaways for me is that Michael Sweet gave me a hug. Apparently I needed that. So, I really enjoyed that, probably a little too much, but,
sure.
And then what, about a half hour later, you tap me on the shoulder and say, you might want to go get your boy, over there. So I look over the shoulder, and sure enough, he's kind of doing that thing where he's at, now at this point, Tony Harnell and Michael Sweet and their whole entourage are sitting down for dinner. And
wives,
he's kinda,
significant others.
Yes, exactly. And so and hopefully I'm
Tom
not embarrassed. Hopefully I'm not embarrassing to me here, but he's doing that thing where he's just kind of like hovering behind one of the chairs that people are sitting on and talking to him, and they're kind of leaning on him and stuff. So yeah, you sent me over to pull him out, and for the most part, I was successful. I actually called Toomey to make sure that that didn't come off as a dick move, because I was pretty drunk at the time too. Maybe I was reading it wrong, but I just I wanted to save him a little embarrassment.
I was, I was the guy that all of a sudden just gave you work. I just looked at you, go take care of your boy over there.
Yeah. You're the kingpin. But I know you don't care. I have a relationship with him I want to maintain. But no, you made the right call.
I know. I figured you were the man to take care of it. I figured you would defuse the situation more than me coming over there. You have that extra level.
I'm more diplomatic, yes.
Exactly.
It's all good.
Plus, I didn't want to do it.
Oh, but yeah, as Toomey was drunk, it was, I think about halfway through the beer I was drinking at that time that I realized I was done. And I believe we both retired together that night.
Yes, correct.
All right. So next morning we get up and have the same breakfast, right? Go ahead.
Right. But of course, as any, nutritionist would recommend, he had a Cobb salad at 1 a.m. and then passed out.
That was the only thing. There was like 4 items on the room service menu. Come on.
I think it's funny. Like, you start with breakfast, beer, and then end it with iceberg lettuce.
Yeah. It was some chicken.
Okay.
So the next morning I get up, and, you know, it's like, you know, it's 6:45. And I'm like, of course, you're going to sleep till, I don't know, as late as you can. I surfed the internet for about an hour and a half. And I'm like, all right, I'm turning the TV on. I'm going to get this day rolling here. And then, of course, you chime in. You're upset with me, like, oh, no respect for, you know, maybe other people want to sleep or anything.
Yeah, like I want to say Kings of Queens. Marathon at 8 in the morning.
The weird thing is that, like, that was what was on TV when we went to bed.
Yeah, I was like, why does this never end? There's only so much Kevin James I can take.
Apparently, Luz Cannon isn't aware of TBS.
Marathons are just random shit all the time.
That's pretty much all they do. Is like, if you always know if they're showing one show, they're going to show at least 4 more, you know. But
what a concept. Hey, guys, let's play the Christmas Story for 4 days in a row around Christmas, because nobody can just hit Netflix and hit play.
All right. Well, basically on tap that morning was breakfast. We actually were joined by one of the people we met the day before, a trucker who basically almost accidentally found out about the expo and podcast and still decided to drive, you know, 8 hours across the country to attend it. So it was
Jesse.
Yes. It was Jesse, the only man I've ever seen wear a Firehouse shirt in public. were you there for when I was giving him shit about that the night before? I don't remember. But
well, yes, I do like it. Okay. We just got a new fan and we lost it all within one episode.
No, Jesse was a lot of fun, and he's exactly the story that the expo, like, people, I'm talking about Chris Sinzak, basically, Sniznak,
yes.
That's what he wants to hear, is that this is reaching people organically. And just,
can I explain that real quick in 30 seconds? Okay.
I don't know if you can do it that quick, but go ahead.
I can. Basically, how'd you find out about this, Jesse? Well, showed up in my feed, and I don't know anything about podcasts. I don't know anything. I happen to like a couple of these bands attending, and I've... basically, it was because of these bands and not advertising that it showed up in this feed, like you just said, organically, with something he might like. And he decided to make the travel as a result. Never to subscribe to any of the podcasts there at all.
And by the end of breakfast, you had him download a podcast app, make sure that the first one he subscribed to was ours, and then we showed him how to kind of carry on with that. So hopefully he's in the truck right now listening somewhere. But he also gave us a good tip. We should be advertising in truck stop bathrooms above urinals.
Right, for the long commutes, just pictures of us. Yeah. And maybe we could side business the jerk socks.
Yeah.
Just a little dispensary. You know,
we have to come up with a new name, like a lot lizard cleanup towel, a lot lizard chamois. Oh, but yeah. So after breakfast, it was Ken Mills was hosting a thing that he was kind enough to invite us to. Is that some? It was basically an acoustic show with the guitar player from the Rock and Roll Residency, Jeremy Ashbrook, I believe, and his wife. Sure. And I apologize, I just don't remember her name. I was still pretty hungover, and it was a really tight room, and I just was. It was a tough vibe for me at the time. So I apologize for not sticking around longer, Ken, because you know we love you. I did sit through at least, I don't know, 5 or 6 songs before we bailed. And we also enjoyed the fun size with Aaron Camaro.
That was good too.
So then, we're getting done with the Ken Mills thing. And of course, Aaron Camaro was kind enough to drive us around in what kind of car was it, Luce?
Aaron Camaro drove us around in the Camaro.
I love the fact that we were like, we loved that. And he's like, gotta live the bit, Baco.
Yeah, how far are you going to take this, Aaron? It's amazing.
As far as he needs to. Yeah, we got to swing by his house on the way to Sinzac, or I'm sorry, Sniznax, where we saw the brand new Cobras and Fire Decibel Geek Studio, and then off to Sinzac for some beers. Not a lot of detail here because we're just a bunch of podcasters sitting around getting drunk in a garage, but sure. I just love this part. You're kind of winding down. We finally get to talk to Chris, spend some time with him, and it seems like he enjoys that part of it too. So again, Chris, thanks for the event. Thanks for having us, all that stuff that we've covered up to this point. You really are you're one of the 1,000 points of life that light that George Bush used to talk about. Who was all there? It was like Bushy from the plug with Bushy and Mountain Man. We had both Ian and Ralph from Rock and Metal, you and I. Obviously Chris and Aaron and Chris's brother Eric, Chris's wife. And I think, I don't know if it was Bushy's girl or wife or whatever, but the woman he was with and his daughter. And there was some inappropriate language being thrown around in front of a 14-year-old, but she seemed to be a street ready for that kind of stuff.
Sure, yeah. Yeah,
this was your first time doing this. Last year was like my first time getting to be hanging out with those guys. What'd you think?
Oh, that was great. I mean, plus the fact that Chris owns the most famous fence in all of the expo. That picture of all of us lined up there—it's online. That thing is amazing, and the fact that he had some of my favorite appetizers ever, the Sisnax. Those are delicious that he was serving. And it was just a good time. I mean, when I first envisioned going to the expo, I always thought, this isn't enough unless I sit inside of a garage for 9 hours and sweating next to other podcasters.
We were there 5 hours tops.
That is the only bit of authenticity. You can't have an expo experience without the authenticity of a national.
Well, I know you're a bit of a taskmaster. It's like you need validation to do anything. Like you can't go and hang with people unless there's a concert and it's one you like.
Sure.
And you at least need to be on the fence with the opener. And then afterwards, you have to have dinner plans at a special place. And if that's okay, you're going to hit these. So this is not really your wheelhouse. This is basically my childhood.
I tried, and there was no way I could show up late and leave early.
Yeah, exactly. You're basically stuck in the back of Aaron's Camaro.
because Chris, that we should say too, that we actually saw the Decibel Geek Studios. We can verify it is not an Adobe Hut.
Okay, well, it wasn't last year either. This is the new one, though. This is not the one that we've ripped on in the past.
I understand, but I tell you, I mean, it was a great show. Listen, for me, the fact that I could enjoy myself, didn't want to arrive late, didn't want to leave early, except maybe a little earlier than the Uber we took back.
Yeah. Well, if we didn't do that, then we would have stiffed Ralph and Ian with a full Uber ride. But
I'm kidding. Yeah, I'm kidding.
No. It was, by the way, I talked to Ian a lot last year and this year, but not quite as much with Ralph. I got to talk to him a little more, and that was enjoyable for me. He opens up a little bit when you get going. Yeah, when you're just kind of hanging around, he kind of sits back and almost seems like he's not there.
I don't know what that
means. Have nothing to say, huh? come on. And Bushy was a lot of fun to talk to, too, man.
No.
Anybody with a Southern accent like that is always up my alley, you know? Because up here in Minnesota, we don't have an accent, don't you know?
No, in all seriousness, the hang at Chris was one of the highlights of the weekend. Loved hanging out with everybody. There wasn't a dull moment in that group, and it just shows the way that music can unite people, as well as inappropriate jokes.
It would be fun to tally up the hours of podcasts that are available of just the shows that were standing against that fence.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
Like, do we have any fans that are statisticians that want to dig into that for me? I would like to know. But well, before I let you go, I would like to at least mention a few people that were missed this year, and not having them there, it was notable. And that's Joey Haney from Rock Strikes 10, who basically you brought into my universe. So thanks for that. Pods and Sods, same thing, honestly.
Yes.
Eric Pods and Craig, your absence was noted. The smart version of Cobras and Fires, I've said in the past. And also, I always enjoy the 8 minutes of conversation I have with John Lamoureux. Did I miss anybody?
I'm sure there are, but like that one show that Paz and Saz does, where it's like a 3.5 recap, where it's like a Stern broadcast. That's always fun listening to, so that'll be missed.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I know you got a lot. I know you have so much time on your hands today. I kind of pulled you into this out of the blue, so I thank you for your time. Any other thoughts about anywhere that we talked about? Did we miss anything? Anything you wanted to get into?
I'm sure we did, but we'll cover it as little anecdotes in future episodes. But I think this is a pretty long version of what was supposed to be a half hour conversation during my sabbatical. So I appreciate our time.
Yes. And since we're both been podcasting for almost exactly the same amount of time, pretty soon we can look forward to becoming roommates full time. So
sure, yeah, definitely.
I want a dog.
Yeah, you know, is there a hobby that you could lose more money at than podcasting?
Being a band.
Being a band or
yeah, not even close.
Or being a Kiss collector.
Hey, man, all honesty, thanks for...
Of course.
I'm so glad you took the time today, and it really does mean a lot to me that you were able to make that trip, because I know just from talking to you the few times I did over those few days, what a fucking train wreck that was. So, and also, thanks for entertaining the listeners with your story of that. But hey, if it makes you feel better, you remember when we walked down to kind of settle the check, because you left about an hour before I did at 4:30 in the morning?
Sure.
You got free Starbucks. An hour later, that display was gone, so... That's pretty much the same as all your travel exploits. I have to drink Burger King coffee at an airport. That sucks.
One win. So I have one win. Thank you. I'm going to put that over this.
All right. Cheers, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
Cheers. Later.
Times are strange, here I come, but I ain't the same. Mama, I'm coming home. Time's gone by, seems to be, you could have been a better friend to me. Mama, I'm coming home. You took me in and you drove me out, yeah. Lost and found and turned around by the fire in your eyes. You made me cry, you told me lies, but I can't stand to say goodbye. Mama, I'm coming home.
Lewis Cannon. I'm on sabbatical. How may I help you?
Hey, how's it going, man?
I'm on sabbatical. How can I help you?
Would you like to say sabbatical 17 more times, or am I missing a joke here?
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.